Is it really worth living? The Bible says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But God has come that we may have life and that we would have it more abundantly.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host, in the studio with Senior Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago. We are so excited to come, be a part of your morning, your evening, wherever you're at in life right now. It is a joy to be with you. And Pastor Mark, you're taking us through an awesome series called Rewrite. And today's message is When You Think It's Over. You're going to talk to some people right now who really do believe it's over.
That's right. And maybe I'm talking to some Cub fans that a couple years ago, they thought it was over for good, ever, never going to happen again. And guess what we saw?
Don't go there. It's just, just cruel.
Here's the thing. You know, some of us really are at a point in life where we think it's over. And I'm going to talk about that today. This is a story in John chapter 11 where some sisters look at it and they think it's over. And it may not be a person, but it may be a dream. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your confidence. Hey, maybe I'm talking to someone who thinks their life is over. God is a God who likes to step into that which seems like it's done, over, finished. And I want you to know that God is the God of resurrection power. Mm. And so I want to speak that into some of you today that need to know that just because you feel it's over doesn't mean it's over. That God can swoop in at the last minute, and there's certain things that we need to understand about this, but God is a God that comes with resurrection power. That which is dead, he can resurrect.
Amen. And he gets to be the hero of the story, and sometimes that's the best moment. That's the best part of the story. Maybe right now you feel that way, and God's speaking to you. You tuned in. You turned on this broadcast. You turned on this podcast. Somehow you're hearing this message, and you are saying, wow, that's me right now. Well, open up your heart with faith as we open up the Word of God, John chapter 11, verse 1 through 44, When You Think It's Over.
A while back, I heard a thump on my window, and I was with my children who were smaller at the time. And so we ran out to see what it was, and it was a bird that had run into our window. I guess we keep our windows way too clean. And this bird had just kind of run into the window, flying at full speed, it appears, full speed ahead, and boom, it hit. And so we ran out, and the bird was kind of twitching on the ground, you know, just kind of twitching there. And my kids were around. They said, Dad, I think he's dead. I said, no, he's still alive. He's twitching. And I said, all he needs is a little help. And so they said, what are you going to do? I said, well, watch this. I think he just needs some help. So I picked up the bird and the twitching bird. And I figured, I threw him up in the air like, fly, birdie. And I expected he would just kind of flap his wings and fly. But instead, it was a nosedive. Boom. And then he stopped twitching. And my kids were like, Dad, you killed the bird. I said, no, I did not kill the bird. I gave him one last chance to fly again. He didn't take it, but one last chance. It doesn't always work out the way you expect it to. Sometimes things that you expect are going to live die. Sometimes dreams that you expect are going to come into full motion end up dying. Sometimes a relationship that you have aspirations that this relationship will be an awesome, great relationship and last a long time, and it comes to a sudden end that you did not expect. Sometimes it's a career that you threw a lot of energy and effort into, and you wake up one day and realize it's over, it's gone, it's not there. Sometimes it's a business that you've labored and worked on and thought that this would really bring in the income and you retire easily, but it's gone. Sometimes it's hope that you thought you'd have forever, and you wake up one day and feel like, I'm hopeless. In an auditorium this size, there are people, no doubt, within the last month, that you've looked at your life and the thought has actually crossed your mind, is life really worth living? And you haven't told anybody. No one's known it. You haven't said it. You haven't spoken. Maybe you haven't even acted out on a plan. But you've asked yourself, really, is my life worth living? Is it really worth living? What would it be like to end it? You see, the Bible says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But God has come that we may have life and that we would have it more abundantly. John chapter 11 is about a story about a man who is living his life and suddenly there's a tragic ending to it. And I want to introduce you to this story because I think that there's some really important, powerful points that we need to grasp here today. And if you take your Bibles, if you have a Bible, and turn to John chapter 11. If not, we're going to put the scriptures on the screen. Speaking of Jesus and his encounter with this man that we named Lazarus, whose name is Lazarus, it says in John chapter 11, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany. Bethany was about 25 miles from Jerusalem. Mary and his sister Martha were his relatives. This Mary is the Mary whose brother Lazarus lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And the Bible says that the sisters sent word to Jesus that the one he loved, Lazarus, who was a good friend, was sick. And the Bible says, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I want you to remember three things when you're going through the death of a dream, the death of something that you've hung on to, the death of something that you believed was not the right time for it to die, something that you expected to live, but it comes to an abrupt end. I want you to remember three things. Number one, write this down. Delay does not always mean distant. I want you to see how Jesus responds to this. The Bible says that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Hold on, Jesus. Wow. Mary and Martha have just sent word to you that their brother is very sick and that they really need you. And that if you don't show up, something bad could happen. And instead of calling a Jerusalem Uber and getting right over there, you just kind of hang out two more days until the worst becomes tragic. It seems like you should respond right away. It seems like when I hear that someone is sick that I love, that I really care about, I don't care if I'm a doctor or not a doctor. I try to get there as quickly as possible. I run there because maybe just my presence can do something or help out. Hopefully not like the bird, but, you know, do something to help out. But instead of going there, Jesus delays two more days. 48 hours later. Jesus decides to go. Has it ever felt to you like God was late in your life? Have you ever prayed and said, God, this would be a great time for a miracle, and it doesn't happen? Have you ever called out to heaven and done whatever you knew how, prayed the best you knew how, the hardest you knew how, gone to the holiest places you could find, talked to the holiest people you could get a hold of to try to get the attention of heaven, and it seems like heaven is just distant, silent, almost as though heaven has ignored you? You don't have to raise your hand if you felt that way, but I think most people have at times in their life felt like, hey, we called and you didn't show up. Mary and Martha were sisters that deeply loved Lazarus, and they knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, but Jesus did not respond in their timing. He didn't show up when they expected him to. In fact, he waited 48 hours. And I asked myself this question, why did Jesus wait? Let me tell you why Jesus waited. This may shock you. Jesus waited because sometimes something has to die before it can be resurrected. Sometimes your dream has to die. Your confidence has to die. Sometimes something has to come to an end before God can really resurrect it and start it the way it needs to be. Sometimes the dramatic power of God cannot be seen if he shows up when something is just bad. Sometimes he's got to let it get real bad and come to a point where we say, no, it's dead, before his resurrection power can be released. Jesus waited until Lazarus died before he decided to go back to Bethany. Now, I know you and I don't always understand the timing of God. Sometimes God's clock moves at a different time zone than our clock moves in. And Mary and Martha were puzzled. They couldn't understand it. And I believe they probably asked themselves, hey, doesn't Jesus care? I mean, what's up with you, Jesus? I thought you really cared about us. If you did, you would have stepped into this. And we can misinterpret delay as distant. We can misinterpret the fact that God is not showing up when we expected him to show up as though somehow God were distant and uninvolved and unconcerned about our plight. God's timing is not about helping you avoid the greatest pain, but about what brings the greatest impact. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 9 says, God is speaking and it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Never underestimate God's clock. Never interpret the fact that God doesn't show up when you want him as though God is distant and not involved. Number two, write this down. Adversity doesn't mean abandonment. So finally, Jesus shows up. He's 2 days late. They've already wrapped the corpse up. The funeral arrangements are already in motion. Lazarus is already dead.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled When You Think It's Over, which is from our current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 9. Pastor Mark's message, When You Think It's Over.
And in verse 21, Martha encounters Jesus. She's the older sister, and she encounters Jesus, and she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if you would have been here, if you would have shown up, if you would have been present, then things were different. She interpreted the fact that her brother had died with the fact that Jesus had abandoned them. That Jesus was not present when he should have been there. That he wasn't there where he was supposed to be. There was this sort of interpretation that he had missed his timing, that he had missed his window, that he could have been present, that his presence would have made a difference in the situation. I believe that Jesus allowed Lazarus to die for a couple of reasons. I believe that Jesus allowed Lazarus to die because if he had not allowed Lazarus to die, we would have never seen his resurrection power. You see, when something gets bad and it's rescued, it's a story, but it's not a huge story. When something is over and it comes to life, then that's a story. Last Super Bowl was pretty good at halftime. I mean, they were winning bad. I got home from a trip and I walked in my living room and I expected my boys to be glued to the television like they are at every Super Bowl. And I walked in and the television was blaring and they weren't there. I said, hey, boys, the Super Bowl's on. They said, oh, yeah, it's a blowout. It's over. It's boring. I said, all right. I kept putting my things away. I said, hey, boys, it's getting a little better. Suddenly, everybody was in that living room. And you know the story how the Patriots, I wasn't a big fan of Brady, but when he was that low, I wanted him to win. It's like, hey, that's a resurrection. And they came back from a 25-point deficit. If they would have won before by a lead, it would have been a Super Bowl. But when it's down over almost unrecoverable, then it's a great story. Listen, some of you in your lives, God has allowed adversity in your life. God has allowed it to get worse when you expected it to get better. God has allowed you to sink lower when you wanted a line to rescue you right away. God has allowed you to struggle when you expected, hey, God, get me out of this now. And I believe that sometimes God allows us to go through the struggle and the difficulty and the pain because he has a purpose in the pain. We don't want it. We don't like it. We don't want to be there. But there's a purpose and a plan in the difficulty that God allows. I heard of a grandfather that was taking his little grandson through a walk in the park. And the five-year-old was, like most five-year-olds, looking around the bushes, and he saw a cocoon that was moving around. And he said, Grandpa, look, what is it? The grandpa leaned down, he looked at it for a while, and he said, I think that is a butterfly trying to break out of its cocoon. And so both grandfather and grandson stared at it for a while, and they saw that they saw it moving and scratching and a little hole, and it was breaking, and they saw the struggle, and the little grandson said, Dad, let me help it. And the grandfather said, no, don't touch it. Why? Let me break it open for him. He said, no, don't touch it. And then he explained to the grandson, you see, it's in the battle, in the struggle, that this butterfly is gaining strength to be able to fly. In fact, as a butterfly breaks its way through that little cocoon, the hole, as it pushes its way through, so that when it's finally out, its wings will work and it can fly. If you open up the cocoon and don't let it struggle, then that butterfly's wings will be useless. It will never be able to fly. It's in the struggle that it gains its strength. It's in the struggle that it prepares for the next season. And so you have to let the struggle happen because it's in the struggle that success for the next season comes. Some of you are in the struggle right now. You're battling and fighting and trying to make it through, and you're saying, God, why don't you rescue me and take me out of this struggle? And God is allowing you to struggle. He's letting you fight a little bit. He's watching you. Never interpret adversity as abandonment. Just because you're going through a hard time doesn't mean that God doesn't care. Just because you're struggling right now doesn't mean that God has abandoned you, that he's disconnected, that he doesn't care, that you've been lost in the multitude of crowd of things. God allows the struggle because in the struggle, there is a power. There is the faithfulness of God. There's something happening to your soul in the struggle. I believe that God allowed Mary and Martha to go through the battle and difficulty and pain of losing their brother, not because Jesus did not care, but because there was something that was being revealed to them in the struggle and the pain of their battle. It was in the middle of that tragedy that Jesus said to Martha these powerful words. She said, if you would have been here, it would be different. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Something powerful. It's a light bulb moment, a revelation moment that left Mary and Martha scratching their head, trying to understand exactly what Jesus was saying. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus did something interesting. He said, I want to see the body. Show me Lazarus. So they took him to the funeral place. There were people that were mourning and crying and weeping. Relatives had gathered around. Why? Because when something dies, it affects a lot of people. There's a loss that happens, a mourning that occurs. There are people in this auditorium today, right now, that are still mourning. You're mourning the loss of a relationship, the loss of a dream, the loss of hope, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a son or daughter that no longer talks to you, the loss of the ability to love again because you've given up on it. Some of you are mourning the loss of your future. You look into the future and it's just bleak to you. There's no hope. There's no energy. There's no life. There's no vision of what it could be. Something has died. And I believe that God wants to resurrect, wants to reveal resurrection power today in some lives that are here. The Bible says that Jesus made his way to the gravesite, and in those days they would not dig a hole 6 feet deep and put someone in the ground. They would actually put someone inside of a cave and they would roll a stone over it and they would wrap the body up and put incense over it, and they would keep the body from wild animals and so forth and protect the body that way. So Jesus made his way down to the funeral procession and people were wailing and mourning and crying. And I love the fact that although Jesus knew the outcome of this story, Jesus had the power to change the circumstances. I love what I see in these verses. In verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. And I love what it says in verse 35. This is the shortest verse in all the Bible, but one of the most powerful and profound verses in all the Bible. Some of you think you cannot learn a Bible verse in your life, but this is a Bible verse I'm going to teach you right now. Ready? Two words. Jesus wept. Can you say it? Jesus wept. Wow, you just learned a Bible verse. The shortest verse in all the Bible. Jesus wept. When I was a kid, they would have me say Bible verses, you know, in Sunday school, they'd say, anybody know a Bible verse? Yeah, me. Which one? Jesus wept. I love that. Got me out of a lot of stuff. Jesus wept. Now you know a Bible verse. I run into men sometimes and say, Pastor, my memory's not that good. I'm just not good at memorizing. But yet I can ask them, what was the score of the Super Bowl in 1959? And they'll spout it out really fast. They know all of it. The reason I love this verse is not just because I see Jesus weeping, but why he's weeping. The fact that Jesus saw the sisters crying and looked at the crowd was crying, it troubled him deeply. It moved him in his spirit. Why? He knew the outcome of the story. God knows the outcome of your life. He knows that circumstances can be turned around. But when God sees the pain, the hurt, the difficulty, the mourning and grief, he empathizes with them. What it tells me is here is a God that deeply cares. So never underestimate or never confuse adversity with abandonment. The God of the universe, the God that's had no beginning and will have no end, the God who is called El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim, the God who's referred to as the Almighty, this God who you and I cannot approach in our humanity, who our flesh would be consumed if we came to him just in our mortality, this amazing, omnipotent, omniscient, sovereign God of the universe, he knows you. He knows you by name. He knows your story, your birth, your social security number, even fake social security numbers.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago from New Life Community Church at our Midway location with his message entitled, When You Think It's Over. It's from his current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.